Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erev and Daf Chav Zayin. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chavav Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom, beginning with the new Perek. Ba'koil ma'arvin mishtatvin. One may use any type of food to establish either an Erev or a Shitof Mavoyz, which is another form of Erev. So you can use anything. Chutz min ha-mayim u-min ha-malach, except for water or salt. Why? Explains Rashi. What is the basis for Erev? And why indeed are these two things not suitable? Let's take a look at Rashi, right off to the left, beginning with the words, Ba'koil ma'arvin, says Rashi, Erev v'chatzeres u-tchumen. So Erev chatzeres, we know what that is, collection of the food, placing it in one of the homes within the courtyard, thereby merging together all the residents of this courtyard, making it into just one residence, and this allows them now to carry freely throughout this entire area. The Erev Tchumen is placing some food outside the city, which becomes this person's Shabbos residence, and allows them to walk from there, 2,000 amos. Continues Rashi, Mishtatvin b'mavi, is another form of Erev. Instead of just the members of the courtyard collecting that food, it's going to be all the members of the various courtyards who access this joint alleyway, this mavi. They collect some food, place it into one of the courtyards, thereby merging together, making a partnership, so to speak, between all the members of the various courtyards, creating one singular usage area and allowing them now to carry freely throughout this entire area. So one can use any type of food for this purpose except chutz min ha-mayim min ha-malach, except for water and salt. Why? Says Rashi, the lav midi de mazanin. They're not considered to be proper forms of mazan, of sustenance. Why is that so crucial for the establishment of the Erev? Says Rashi, the time of the Erev. How does an Erev work? It's going to be a very clear understanding of the concept of Erev and Shituf, and it's going to be applied to the rest of the Besechta. Says Rashi, how does the Erev work? You collect some food, suddenly all joined together. The time of the Erev Mishum, the Datoi V'dirasoi, B'mokoi Mizoi Noisefu, the mind, the focus, the attention of a person is directed at the location of his food. That's where his dira is, that's where his residence, that's where his dwelling is. He's focused at his food, which sustains him, which is his source of life. So once all the members of the chatzar place their food into one of the homes, that becomes their joint residence. So they're all living in this home, because that's where their food is. This results in them all unifying into one rishus. It becomes just one singular usage area. Therefore, they can now carry freely throughout this entire courtyard, because there's only one residence here. V'chein b'ruvi tchumen. Same concept applies to ruvi tchumen. You place some food somewhere outside the city. That becomes your Shabbos residence. Nasa k'misha shachav sham. As though he's lying there. That becomes his makim shvisa, his place of residence. And from that location, he can walk 2,000 amis in every direction. So once we establish that the concept of Erev is based on the fact that a person's mind, his focus, is directed at the location of his food, Hilkach, Dvar Mazan Bidan, it needs to be some form of significant substance here. It can't be just water and salt, which are not considered to be considerable sources of sustenance. They're not considered to be, they're not classified as mazon. So these two things are not suitable for Erev. Continues the Mishnah. So again, Ba'kol ma'avin mishtatfin, chutz min ha-mayim min ha-melech. Ba'kol nikach bekesef maser. This is another halacha pertaining to water and salt. One can take the money of maser sheni. So maser sheni is what's separated from the crop in the third and the sixth year of Shemitah. You meant to eat that food in Yerushalayim. For instance, if somebody's outside Yerushalayim, Torah allows him to transfer the kedusha of the maser sheni onto money, and eventually take that money up to Yerushalayim and purchase some food with it and eat it in Yerushalayim. So anything can be purchased, any food item can be purchased with that money, chutz min ha-mayim min ha-melech, except for water or salt, as the Gemara will give us the reason. Continues the Mishnah with another halacha pertaining to water or salt. Hanoyder min ha-mazon, if one undertook a commitment, he made a nether, a vow to refrain from all forms of mazon, of sustenance, he cannot eat anything except mutar b'melech v'mayim, he can eat salt or water, which are not considered to be mazon. So the first and third halacha are based on the same concept, that salt or water are not considered to be mazon. The second halacha regarding maaser sheni, that's based on another concept. It doesn't fit the formula the criterion of what is needed in order to allow it to be bought with Ma'aseh Sheni money, as the Gemara will explain. Continues the Mishnah, Ma'arvin l'nazar b'yayin, if one wishes to establish an Erev Tchumen for a Nazar, one who made a vow to refrain from wine, he can even use wine for the Erev Tchumen. Explains Rashi, although it's not suitable for him, he can't consume the wine. Nevertheless, since wine is considered to be mazon, a substantial form of sustenance, and it is suitable for your average person, for your ordinary person, the non-Nazir individual, therefore the Chacham allowed even the Nazir to use this for his Erev. Uli Yisrael b'truma, likewise Yisrael can make an Erev Tchumen using truma, although he himself cannot consume the truma. Some chasamim b'chulin. Yisrael can only use chulin, a non-truma product, for his Erev. Continues the Mishnah. Ulu koin b'beis ha'pras. A koin who cannot become tummy, but he can place his Erev Tchumen in a beis ha'pras, this field which was overrun, the grave was overrun within it, was plowed over, and midrabanan, the koin cannot enter that, for concern that he might touch a bone and become tummy. But he can place the Erev Tchumen in the Beis HaPras, Rashi explains, because theoretically there is a way to get in there, by blowing his way in, making sure there are no bones in his way. Therefore, he can go ahead and place the Erev in there. Rabbi Da'imer, afilu bein akvaris, even between the actual graves, in a cemetery, a Kohen could have the Erev placed on his behalf. Why? Because he'll have access to it. Theoretically, he can get in there, b'nei sheyochel lochutz. He can create a partition, Rashi explains, he'll bring along a portable mechitza to intersect between him and the cemetery, and between him and the grave. Then sheyochel lochutz for leilach leechel, and go ahead and access and eat his erev. Therefore, Abuda maintains he can place it even in the Beis HaKvaris. So in summary, we have two parts of the Mishnah. We have a halacha regarding mayim amelach, water and salt. One cannot make an erev with these two things. One cannot purchase these with ma'aseh sheni money. That's not included in a nether. If one undertakes a commitment not to eat mazon, mayim and melech are not included. We have the second portion of the Mishnah which tells us, even a nazir can use wine to make his erev. A Yisrael regarding truma, we have machlekes. A kohen can place his erev in a beis hapras. Regarding a beis hakvaras, we have a machlekes. Continues the Gemara. Omar b'yechanan, ein lemeida min hakloes. Even when the Tana sets forth a general rule, we can't conclude conclusively from the words of the Tana. Perhaps there are some exceptions to the rule. We know every rule has an exception. So, ein lemeida min hakloes, we cannot derive conclusively from a klal set forth by a Tana. Even when the Tana goes ahead and expresses an exception, he says, well, this is the general rule, and these are the exceptions. We can't even draw a conclusion from that, perhaps. He omitted something from the list of exceptions. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, which is three lines from the top. Whenever the Tana sets forth a general rule, we don't say it's precise and exact. Sometimes you have a klal which is imprecise. Perhaps there are some things which are not included in that generalization. Come on, as the Gemara will bring us some examples upcoming. Even when the Tana specifies this is the rule and these are the exceptions, even there we can't be sure that it's end all. Perhaps you can say since he issues that exception, he says this is the rule and this is the exception, perhaps it gives us room to think that he was being accurate and precise. Even so, we cannot conclude from this the Dilma Shire. Perhaps he omitted something from that list. Holy Apik, come on, the boy. He didn't exclude everything that was meant to be excluded. Let's get back to the Gemara. So you can't learn from the klal. You can't draw a conclusion, absolute conclusion, even from a generalization of a Tana. And even when the Tana specifies, you know, this is the exception, because perhaps he left something out of that list. Says the Gemara, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan begins by saying you can't learn from the klal, and then he says, even when there is a chutz, which is stated by the Tana, apparently he's not referring to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah has chutz. Mishnah begins by saying, you can use anything for the Erev except chutz from water and salt. So Rabbi Yochanan begins and he says, you cannot learn from a klal, and then proceeds and says, even in a time when it says chutz. So apparently the opening portion of that Rabbi Yochanan statement, you can't learn from the klal, is not referring to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah has chutz. Says the Gemara, "Medika Amar, afilu b'makom shneim b'chutz." The fact that Rabbi Yechon begins and says you can't learn from a klal. That's number one. And number two, even when there's a chutz involved. So apparently, the first part of Rabbi Yechon's statement, "You cannot learn from a general klal," is not referring to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is included in the second portion of Rabbi Yechon's statement, because our Mishnah has chutz. So the first part of Yechon's statement, what is it referring to? What do we have an example? Where the Tana sets forth a klal without a chutz. And we're not meant to conclude from there. Midgomer afilu b'makom shneim b'chutz. Mechlal, apparently, the lav ha'chakoy, apparently the first portion of Rabbi Yechon's statement is not referring to our Mishnah. So what is the example of Rabbi Yechon's statement? Where do we have a Tana which issues forth a klal without a chutz? And that's what Rabbi Yechon is referring to. You cannot conclude conclusively from a klal mentioned in the Mishnah. Hey, Chakoyu, what is he referring to? Where is it pertaining to? Hasam Kay, it's pertaining to a Mishnah in Kedushin. Ko mitzvah sase shazman groma, any mitzvah sase, a positive command which is time-related. Anoshim chayavin, v'noshim turis. Men are obligated and women are pater. Vishloy hazman groma, any mitzvah sase which is not time-dependent. Echad noshim v'echad anoshim chayavin. That's a comment on both women and men. So this is the Mishnah in Kedushin. Says the Gemara, is that an absolute rule, a klolahu? The call mitzvah hazeh, shazman grama, noshem pturis, any positive mitzvah, which is time dependent. Only men are chayv and noshem are potter? Is that an absolute rule? Hare matzo simcha v'hakel. We have three examples of mitzvahs which are time related. Eating matzah the first night of Pesach. Simcha, being joyous and happy throughout the Yom Tov. Hakel, that's the mitzvah to gather together Klal Yisrael, after the Shemitah year, bring them to the Beis HaMikdash and have the king get up on the platform and read from Sefer Devarim. So these are three examples of mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are Seisha Zman Gromu, they're time-related mitzvahs. V'noshim Chayoves, and we know specifically Noshim HaChayev, Rashi brings this source for all three mitzvahs, how we know that Noshim HaChayev in these mitzvahs. So we have exceptions to the rule. How does the Tana set forth a general rule that mitzvahs that are time-dependent are only applicable to men, not to women? We have three examples of mitzvah sase shazman grama, which apply to women equally as men. Says the Gemara, v'chol mitzvah sase shloi hazman grama, l'shem chayavis. And conversely, regarding a mitzvah sase, that's not time dependent. Women are chayiv in all those mitzvahs. Harei tamo doira, piriya v'ribya, pidyin ha-ben. We have three examples, learning Torah, bringing fruitful, having children, and pidyin ha-ben, redeeming their firstborn child. These are three examples of mitzvahs that are not time-related, the mitzvahs that say, Shaloi azman groma, v'noshim pturis. Nevertheless, women are pata from these mitzvahs. So we see there are exceptions to this rule of the Mishnah. Elom Rabbi Yochanan, ein lemeidim min haklalos. Indeed, we cannot conclude from a generalization of a Tana. We can't learn from there. Afilu v'afilu v'makom shneim b'chutz, even when the Tana states the word chutz. So this Mishnah in Kedushin is an example of the first portion of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. This is an example of a Mishnah which gives us a rule. It doesn't speak about chutz. It gives us a general rule, and we have exceptions to that rule. Amar Abaye v'teimer Rabbi Yirmiyah, afanana mitanina. So Abaye, some say it was Rabbi Yirmiyah who said that we have another example of a klal where actually the Tana sets forth a general rule with an exception, with a chutz. Nevertheless, it turns out that there is something omitted from that list. The Mishnah in Maseches Zovin says like this, Oid klal acher amru. There's an additional rule which Chazal set forth, Kol shenisa al gabi azov. Tame, anything which is carried upon the zov, meaning the zov is carrying it, it becomes tame, it's called tumas hesed. It's an indirect association between the zov and that item. He's carrying it. V'chol shazov nisa olav tar. Anything which is carrying the Zav on it is tar. Meaning, anything which the Zav is sitting on or standing on is tar, except chutz. Min haroi lemishkaf, anything which is suitable for lying on it, for instance, a bed, a mattress. Umoishav, anything which is intended for sitting on it, for instance, a chair. Ve'a adam, or a person. These three things, these three categories, something which is roi for mishkaf, moishav, and a person, they, by carrying a zav on them, become tumah, a very stringent form of tumah. They become an avatum. But something just like a regular kli, if he decides to sit on a pot, that doesn't attain this stringent form of tumah. So we have a rule with some exceptions. It says the Gemara, v'su leka, Is there nothing else that belongs in this list? Meaning, the Tanya tells us, anything which carries a Zav remains Torah except for these three types of things. Don't we have more to include in this list? Vayikim Merkav. We have something which the Zav rides on, which also belongs in this halacha. It also becomes Tamei through the Zav. Says in one second, Hi Merkav Heichidami. What type of Merkav are we speaking about? If the Zav is actually sitting on it, Hainu Moishav. That's included in Moishav. The Tanya discusses Moishav. Anything which the Zav sits on it, which is suitable, which is intended for this usage, becomes Tamei. So it's already been included in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Anan Hachikamina. What we mean is as follows. Ha'ika Gaba De'ukfa. We're not speaking of the actual saddle. We're speaking of the Gaba De'ukfa, this handle, this wooden handle of the saddle, which the Zav is not actually sitting on. And that also becomes Tamei. This very stringent form of Tumah. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Ha'ukuf Tamei Moishav. The actual saddle, that becomes Tamei Moishav because the Zav is sitting on it. Va'atofus, and the wooden handle of that saddle, Tamei Merkav. That attains a Tumas Merkav. It's not something which is actually sitting on it. But since it's part of the riding accessory, that becomes Tamei and it's called Merkav. So why didn't the Tanya include this? This is another example of something which attains a stringent form of Tumah. So it's not just Mishkav, Moishav, and Adam, it's also Merkav. Eloil Shmami. No, apparently, we hear from this, Ein Lemeidim Min HaKlal. One cannot draw an absolute conclusion, even from a rule set forth by Yatana. Va'afilu? V'malkem Shnem Bechutz. Even in an instance where the Tana gives us a list of exceptions. Such as in this case, where the Tana says, anything that Zav sits on doesn't become Tumah except for something which is intended for sitting, lying, or a person. The Tana evidently left out another item, which is the Merkav. Amar Avina, V'itemar Rav Nachman, some say it was Rav Nachman, Afanana, Metanina. We'll give you another example of this from our very Mishnah. Ba'akoyl ma'arvin mishtatvin. One can use any type of food for Erev Ashitav, Chutz, v'namayim v'melech, except for water, v'hamelech and salt. Now the Tana sets a rule, a klal, and also gives us exceptions to the rule. But he apparently left something out. V'su leka. Is there nothing else that belongs on that list of exceptions? V'yikah k'meina pitris. What about these forms of mushrooms, which are not suitable for Erev? Why didn't the Tana include it in the list? Elo shmami. No, apparently, we conclude from here. Ein lemeidim min haklal. One cannot derive absolutely from a klal. V'afilu b'makayim shnem b'chutz. Even when the Tana specifies and gives us a list of exceptions, perhaps he has omitted something from that list. Continues the Gemara. Hakol nikach b'kesef maser. Any type of food can be purchased using money for maser sheni, except for water or salt. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. We have a machlekes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yisrael Chanina regarding the following statement. Chad masnei erev. One of these two, we're not sure which one, he applied the following statement to the halacha of erev, v'chad masnei maser, and the other one applied the following statement to the halacha of maser sheni. Explains the Gemara. Chad masnei erev. One of them applied the following statement to the halacha of erev. Lo yishanu. The fact that the Mishnah tells us one cannot establish an erev using salt or water. Lo yishanu. That's only said elamayim b'fnei atzmai. If he's using water on its own, umelach b'fnei atzmai, salt on its own. That's not considered to be a significant form of sustenance, not regarded and classified as mazon. The ein ma'arvin, they cannot be used for the erev. Avol b'mayim umelach. But if one mixes together the water with the salt, it makes salt water, which is suitable for a dip for your bread. Ma'arv, and that can be used for the Erev. Rashi explains, since he can dip his bread into it, that's also considered to be mazayin because it aids and assists in the eating of the bread, and therefore we regard it as well as, we classify it as mazayin. So this is one opinion, that salt water is suitable for Erev. V'chad masnei maser. The other shita, he applied this statement on the halacha of maser sheni, as follows. Lo yishanu. This is what the Mishnah tells us. One cannot purchase with money from maser sheni, either salt or water. Elo mayim b'fnei atzmai. It only pertains to water on its own. Umelach b'fnei atzmai, or salt independently. De'ei nikhen. They cannot be purchased with money from maser sheni. Aval mayim umelach. But if you mix together the water and the salt, it's salt water. That is suitable to be purchased. Nikhen b'kesef maser. You can buy it with maser sheni money. Says the Gemara, Manda Masniya Masr. The opinion, the Shita that applied this concept to Masr Sheni and allowed saltwater to be purchased from Masr Sheni money, he considers this to be a substantial form of mazon of sustenance. Koshkin Erev, certainly when it pertains to Erev, that is suitable for the establishment of the Erev. Umanda Masniya Erev. However, the Shita that applied this concept strictly to Erev, it's strictly Erev. Avala Masaloy, but pertaining to Masa Sheni, it's not suitable to purchase Masa Sheni when even if you mix together salt and the water. My time of why? Peiro Be'inon. For Masa Sheni, we require something to be considered a fruit, a pre-me-pre, meaning a produce from another produce. As the Gemara will explain to us later, it needs to be produced, an offspring, from something which in itself is an offspring of something else, as opposed to salt or water, which don't fit that criteria. Therefore, this opinion only applied this halacha to Erev. Salt water is considered to be enough of a form of sustenance for Erev. But when it comes to Maaseh Sheni, you need to fit, you need to conform to different types of criteria. And salt water does not fit that criteria. Continues the Gemara, Ki Asa Rabbi Yitzchak. When Rabbi Yitzchak came, Masni Amaser. He applied this statement, that salt water is suitable, he applied it to Maaseh Sheni, allowing this form of food, this salt water, to be purchased from money of Maaseh Sheni. Meisve, Zmois de Kashmar Braisa, on Rabbi Yitzchak who allowed Maaseh Sheni money to be applied to salt water. The Braisa says, Heyed Rabbi de Ben Gadish of Nehra Belezer. Rabbi de Ben Gadish testified before Belezer as follows. Shobes Abba, in my father's home, my household, Hoyuloichin Sir, they would purchase Sir, which is fish brine, Bekesef Maaseh, with Maaseh Sheni money. Amar Leish, Rabbi Elazar responded, Shem Alei Shemata, perhaps what you heard, what you witnessed, what your household was accustomed to doing, was only Ela Kishekirve Dogim Muravim Behen, when you had the innards of the fish mixed in and dissolved in this brine, since there's some fish matter there, a substantial form of a fish in this brine, it's not merely the drippings, the salt water dripping from the pickled fish, but it actually contains the innards of the fish, which dissolved into this brine. That's considered to be a form of a fish product, and therefore that indeed can be used, can be purchased with Maaseh Sheni money, but not merely the tzir that you described, which is merely the brine of the fish. That's Rabbi Elazar Shita. Says the Gemara. Now even Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rafilu Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, like Amar, he only said a little bit tzir. He only allowed tzir, he was referring to the fish brine, the shumna de peri, because it contains some of the fat extracts of that fish in it. So since it has some form of fish extract in the brine, he considered it to be significant enough and allowed it to be purchased, testified that in his household they allowed it to be purchased from Maaseh Sheni money on account of that added ingredient, the remnants, the extracts of that fish. But just simply water with salt, simply salt water, that's not enough. That's not considered to be significant enough to allow it to be purchased from Maaseh Sheni money. So in summary, we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish who allows fish brine to be purchased because it has some of the shuman of the fish in it. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says you need to have a more substantial form of fish in there. You need to have the innards of the actual fish dissolved within it. But all agree, all agree, strictly salt water is not suitable to be purchased from Maaseh Sheni money. This is in contrast to Rabbi Yitzchak, who just told us that once you mix the two together, salt and the water, create salt water, that can be purchased from Maaseh Sheni money. Amar Rav Yosef, Lenitzrucha, apparently Rabbi Yitzchak, when he allows, he's speaking about a case, Elishanosan Lesechan Shem. When he went ahead and he dripped some oil into this salt water, so he agrees that just plain salt water is not suitable to be purchased with Maaseh Sheni money. It's not considered to be it's not a fruit, it's not a product of another product. But once he puts some oil in there, oil certainly is suitable to be purchased with Maaseh Sheni money. And therefore, that allows it to be purchased, this entire salt water, from Maaseh Sheni money. Amalei Abayi, v'teipiklei mishum shemen. Once there's oil in there, so once you're basically telling us salt water can be purchased, he's purchasing it on account of the oil within it. So what's the chiddush for Rabbi Yitzchak? Like Tzricha says, the Gemara apparently was speaking about Shanasan Dmei Mayim Umelch Bavlo. He paid extra, just a little bit of oil in there, and he paid much more than the actual value of the oil. Apparently, he meant to include the cost of the actual salt water as well. Shanasan Dmei Mayim Umelch Bavlo. He paid for the water and the salt, Bavlo, including it. Avlo means it's swallowed, it means it's included in the price of the oil. So although he's paying more for the oil than it's actually worth, because he's including also the water and the salt, Rabbi Yitzchak is teaching us that is okay. That's allowed. Because once there's something that is suitable to be purchased for Ma'aseh Shein money, in this case, the oil, so the actual purchase is directed primarily at the oil. The fact that he's paying an additional amount of money, he's including also the cost of the water and the salt, that's called havla. And that's considered to be secondary to the oil in this case. The purchase is directed at the oil, and the other stuff comes along with it. And that's allowed. So in summary, at this point in the Gemara, we went as follows. Regarding purchasing something from Ma'aseh Shein money, just plain water or just plain salt all agree that's not suitable. Regarding water and salt mixed together with oil, all agree that's okay. Regarding the brine with a little bit of the fish fat, which is included in it, we have a machlokes. According to Rida and Gadish, that's allowed. According to Blaz, that's not. All agree. We have the seer, which is the brine of fish, together with the kirvei dagam, the innards of the fish mixed in and dissolved in it. All agree. There's a significant amount of fish product in there, and therefore allows it to be purchased from Ma'aseh Shein money. Okay, so getting back to the concept of havla, you're purchasing something which is suitable to be purchased, but you're including in that price, including also the cost of something which is not really independently suitable to be purchased. And that's allowed. Says the Gemara, really? Ubavlo mishori? One can go ahead and include something else within the purchase price. And yes, Vatanya is learned in the price. Ben Bagbag Omer. He explains the pasuk as follows. The pasuk here is regarding purchasing food with money from Ma'aseh Shein. And the pasuk begins by saying, I'm just going to read from the side, V'nasata kesef b'chol ha'shata v'nafshecha. You can purchase anything that you would desire with the money of Ma'aseh Shein. And then the pasuk itemizes. So the pasuk begins with a generalization. You can purchase any type of food. And then the pasuk goes into a list. B'bakar, large animals, b'tzoin, small animals, b'yayin, wine, b'shecher, old wine. U'b'chol ha'shatushol ha'nafshecha. The pasuk includes another generalization. You can purchase anything that you desire. So the kasha is, once the pasuk introduces us and says, well, anything can be purchased with Ma'aseh Shein money, why go into detail? Why list these four things? Apparently there's a chiddush here. The pasuk is teaching us something by listing to us these four things. Says Ben Bagbag as follows, each thing is coming to teach us something. And they're all based on the concept of havla, going to include in the purchase price, going to include even something which is generally not suitable, not allowed to be purchased with Ma'aseh Shein funds independently. But since it's being included with something which is suitable to be purchased, that's okay. Says the pasuk, Ba'bakar, this is the first of the four items on the list. Melamed, this teaches us, Shaloikin bakar agav oir. One can purchase the large animal together with the skin. Although skin is not edible, it's not fit for human consumption. But since you're buying the animal for its meat, you can include in the purchase price the additional value of the oir of the skin. Although you're really paying for the skin, but it's indirectly. It's secondary to the purchase of the meat. You purchase the whole thing in tandem. And as Rashi explains, certainly the skin is not considered to be kadosh with kedushas Ma'aseh Shein. You're going to use it for your ordinary usages. So that's the first word we're buck. Ubet soin, what is that coming to teach us? Melame shaloichen soin agav gizos. You can purchase the small animal, for instance, the sheep, together with its wool. Ube yayin, that teaches us melame shaloichen yayin agav kankanai. One can purchase wine together with its container. And you can include the value of the container in the purchase price of the wine, and then use the container for ordinary purposes. Ube shechar, this is old wine. What is this coming to teach us? Melame shaloichen temet mishechmitz. So temet is this beverage. You take some water, mix it together with either the residue, the wine residue, shmarim, or the pits of the wine. So then you go ahead and you leave it for a while until it ferments. And although it's mostly water, but since in that water it's contained some of the food extract of the grapes, you can go ahead and purchase that whole thing in its entirety and include even the cost of the water. That's called Havla. So we have four examples of Havla. So indeed, this is the source of this concept of Havla. As long as there's something there which is suitable to be purchased by Shani money, such as in our case where we have the oil contained in the salt water. You're purchasing the oil, and the salt water is just secondary at this point to the oil. So although you're including the value of the salt water in the purchase price, that's okay. That's called Havla. Continues the Gemara. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, I have some difficulty with this pasuk. Man de metargam li bebakar. Whoever has the ability to explain to me, what's the purpose of the Torah mentioning bakar? Aliba de ben bagbag. According to this approach of ben bagbag, where each word here is coming to teach us something. Something, another element, another aspect of the concept of Havla. I understand everything else except for the word bakar. That seems to be extra and unneeded. So whoever has the ability to explain it to me, out of respect, says Rabbi Yochanan, my Vilna Mame Abasrei, I will carry his clothing after him, the Bimasusa, to the bathhouse. I'll be like his Talmud, I'll serve him. Now, what was Rabbi Yochanan's difficulty? My time, what is the reason? What was his hardship? Kulu Tzrichi, all the words, meaning everything else on that list is indeed needed and necessary. Levar mi bebakar deloy tzarich, except for bakar, which doesn't appear to be necessary. Says one, my tzrichi, why they all need it? As follows. Let's analyze, let's go down the list. Because Rachman bebakar, the Torah will only said bebakar, which teaches us, well, you can purchase the animal together with the skin. How about meaning? Perhaps I would say, bakaru, the mizdamin al gav oirei. Certainly, you can purchase the bakar together with its skin. Shem the goof for you. It's one. It's part and parcel of the animal. As Rashi says, you can't go ahead and strip the animal of its skin while it's alive, certainly. So that certainly is included together with its meat. But to purchase, for instance, the sheep together with its wool, it's a lot of good for you. It's not really an integral part of the animal. It's not one entity. You can go and share the wool. Perhaps that cannot be included in the purchase. Perhaps that is not included in this halacha. That's why the Torah specifies even tzoyin, okay? So you understand bakar, that's for the skin, and tzoyin is the additional chiddush of the wool. Because Rachmana bet tzoyin, had the Torah only stopped there, I would say, okay, but tzoyin agav gizosim. Hava amina, I would say, fine. You can purchase the sheep together with its wool. Hava amina mishum nemechuba, I would say, well, that's special because the wool is connected to the animal. So at the end of the day, it's really part and parcel of the animal. Therefore, it can be included in the purchase. Aval yain agabi kankanai. But the wine agav kankanai together with its container, these are two separate elements, two separate objects. Amulay, perhaps in that case, I cannot include the kankan with the wine. That's why Torah has to specify even yain, which teaches us this halach. Now, if the Torah would stop there, because Rahmana be yain, hav amina, perhaps I would say, mishum dahainan turuse. There, yeah, the container is included in the purchase of the wine because the container actually safeguards the wine, keeps it fresh, etc. Therefore, it goes together with the wine. Aval temen mishehechmitz. But this beverage, even though it fermented, since it's mostly water, the kiyub ba'almu, it has just a very light flavor, a very weak flavor of the fruit in it. Perhaps that's not significant enough to allow purchasing this entire beverage, including the water and the purchase price of this very weak flavoring. Amalai, perhaps there, I can't apply this concept. Kasar Rachman is Sheikhar. That's why the Torah needs to specify Sheikhar, which teaches even this great Chiddush. Now, let's go back. Let's go backwards. Let's start from Sheikhar, okay? So we understand why, in this order of events, the Torah needed to specify everything. But let's go backwards. Because Rachman is Sheikhar. Now, if the Torah would have specifically said Sheikhar, meaning start from the bottom, only list the word Sheikhar. Hava mina, then I would say, my Sheikhar, dvei l'keilus. Sheikhar is not coming to teach us that one can go ahead and mix together the flavoring with the water, teaching us that one can purchase this type of beverage. Perhaps the word Sheikhar is coming to teach us that one can purchase a fig, dvei l'keilus, from this location, which has it connected to Sheikhar, because it had the ability to, it had the same, a similar effect to wine. It caused dizziness, etc. Had a slight intoxication effect like wine. So perhaps only that can be purchased with Ma'aseh Sheni money. The Peru, because it's a fruit. It's a product. It's a fruit from a fruit, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So it conforms to the guidelines, the criteria of what may be purchased from Ma'aseh Sheni money. The Torah is teaching us even this type of fruit, perhaps I would think due to its poor quality because it has this adverse effect on the person, it's not suitable. The Torah teaches us no, even this can be purchased. But a concoction of mostly water with some flavor, that not. Aval yayin al gav kankane maloi. But for instance, to do havla, to include something which is not suitable within the price of something which is suitable, that whole concept doesn't exist. For instance, yayin al gav kankane, to purchase wine together with its container, maloi, perhaps that's not acceptable. That's why Torah has to go and say yayin. So going backwards up the list, let's start from sheicher. That itself would not be sufficient to teach us any halacha of havla. That's why Torah needs to go teach us yayin, which teaches us why. Why can we purchase the wine together with a container? Apparently, havlo is mutter. Because rachmona yayin agav kankane. Now, if the Torah would only say sheicher and yayin, so certainly I would know havlo is mutter. Why then does the Torah say yayin? Apparently, the Torah is teaching us something. You can include even something which is not suitable, like the container within the price of the wine. Yayin agav kankane. But I would say that's unique. The hainu tiruse, because the container there provides security, it watches, safeguards the wine. Therefore, it goes together with the wine purchase. Aval tzoyin al gal gizosa. But to allow one to purchase a sheep together with its wool, a maloi, perhaps the wool doesn't relate, doesn't safeguard the sheep. That's not needed for the sheep, and therefore, it's not considered to be one and the same entity. Perhaps that cannot be included in the purchase price of the sheep. That's why Torah needs to specify tzoyin. Kosem rachman tzoyin da filo gav gizosa. One can purchase an animal even together with its wool and include it in the price. So now, once we know it can include even wool, which is not really an integral part of the animal, it's not like the animal's skin, even that can be included in the purchase price. That leaves us with the question, ba bakar lamali. So why then does the Torah need to specify bakar? To teach us that the skin can be included? Certainly, once you include even the wool, which is not really an integral part of the animal itself, in the purchase price, certainly the skin can be included. So why does the Torah need to speak about bakar, which is simply coming to teach us the skin? So that was Rav Yechon's difficulty. Why does the Torah need to mention bakar? Says the Gemara, one second, v'chi teimer, perhaps you'll say, that bakar is necessary. Ila kazer achman bakar. The Torah had not specified bakar. Perhaps I'll reinterpret our derivation. Have I mean, perhaps I would say, soin, when the pasuk says you can purchase the soin, I'll gav oira in. The Torah means you can include the price of the skin, which is an integral part of the animal. But together with its wool, that can't be included because that's further removed from the animal. That's not really part and parcel of the animal. So perhaps the word soin will only teach us the skin and not the wool. That's why the Torah needs to say bebakar. Kasa rachman bebakar la suye oiran. So the word bebakar is coming to tell us the basics because bakar only has skin, doesn't have wool. That's teaching us, number one, skin can be included. Now, once we know step number one, let's go further to tzoyin. Yatele tzoyin. Now, tzoyin is superfluous, it's extra. Apparently, it's coming to teach us an additional halach. Not only the skin of the bakar, lasuy gizasa. It's coming to include even the wool of the tzoyin. So perhaps that's why the Torah finds it necessary to list both. Number one, the bakar, to teach us the basic halacha that skin is included. Now, once we know that, let's go further to tzoyin, which is adding another additional halacha, even the wool is included. But if not for the fact that the Torah specified bakar, perhaps I would say that tzoyin is only coming to teach us the skin of the animal, but not the wool of the animal. It's only after the person specifically says bakar, which already speaks about the skin, now apparently tzoyin is an additional angle to allow even the wool. Says more, that's not the case. Because if the Torah would not have said bakar, even if the Torah would have omitted the word bakar, I would never come to make this mistake. I would never say, well, only the skin of an animal is included in the word tzoyin and not the wool. Why? Well, you have amina. There would be no room to think to say tzoyin al gav oira in al gav gizas aloi. That the tzoyin can only be purchased together with its skin, but not together with its wool. There would be no room for such a misunderstanding. Why? Because why did the Torah pick tzoyin? If it's only referring to skin. Tzoyin has not only skin, it has wool. The Torah should have better chosen an animal that only has skin. Apparently, the Torah is teaching us. Not only skin can be included, also the wool. Says the Mardim Cain. Because the Torah is limiting it only to skin. The Torah should have just said bakar, which only has a skin. And that's all the Torah wants to include. To a merely isolated sign. Meaning, if that's the case, that only skin is included, then the word sign is an unnecessary example. It's misleading. It makes things unclear. Because sign features not only skin, but also wool. If all you're allowing is skin, then why mention sign at all? You should have said bakar, which only has skin. Apparently, since the Torah did choose to use the word sign, which has the wool, tafilu al gagizasa, which has the wool, and this indicates to us you can purchase it sign even together with its wool, which is not as integrally part of the animal like its skin. Now we have difficulty with bakar, which seems to be superfluous and unnecessary. But bakar lamali, why does the Torah mention bakar? Hash that tzoyin agav gizasam is davna. Certainly, if you can purchase the tzoyin together with its wool, which is not part and parcel of the animal like its skin, even the wool can be included. Bakar agav erme paye? Is there a need to speak about the skin of the bakar? So once the Torah specifies tzoyin, which apparently is referring to the wool of the animal as well, so if that can be included, certainly the skin can be included. So why even discuss bakar, which is only an animal that has skin? Now we understand Rabbi Yochanan's difficulty. Haynu dekam Rabbi Yochanan. That is the meaning of Rabbi Yochanan's statement, man de matargim li, but bakar, one who will come forth and interpret for me the reason why the pasuk says babakar alibud ben bagbag, according to this approach of ben bagbag, that each word here has meaning. It's teaching us something regarding this concept of havla. Whoever explains this to me, Mayvilna mane lebimasusa, I will carry his clothing after him to the base America, to the bathhouse. So in summary, we learned about the concept of havla. One purchases a food item which is suitable to be purchased from Maaser Sheni money, but it can include in the purchase price even something which is generally unsuitable. We have four examples in the pasuk. Each one is coming to teach us a different angle, a chiddush regarding this concept. But bakar will teach us the animal together with its skin. But tzoyin, together with its wool. But yayin, together with its container. And but shechar, it can purchase that watery beverage, even though it only has a small percentage of fruit extract, you can purchase that fruit extract and include in the price the water as well. So now the Gemara will proceed to provide for us the guideline, the formula, the criteria, what determines which food is suitable to be purchased from the funds of Maaser Sheni. Now, earlier we had a discussion regarding the tzir, which is the fish brine. According to one shita, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, that is fit to be purchased from Maaser Sheni money due to the fact that it contains even just a small element of fish extract, the shumna, the pera, the fattiness of the fish, that is sufficient to regard this entire thing like a fish product. Whereas Rabbi Blazer disagrees, he holds we need a more substantial amount a fish product in this. We need to have the kirvei dogim, the innards of the fish, mixed in and dissolved in this brine. But both shitas hold that, generally speaking, fish can be purchased with funds of Maaser Sheni. Whereas there are other tanoim, which will be cited in the upcoming Gemara, who disagree. They hold that fish are not on the approved list. Says the Gemara, but my kemifliki, what is the basis of their machlekes? Between, on the one hand, we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, for Belezer who hold that fish can be purchased. In contrast to the other Tanoi, Vahane Tanoi del Kamon, who hold that fish cannot be purchased from funds of Maaser Sheni. Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Belezer, Darshi Ribuye Umiuti. They apply the formula of Drasha called Ribuye Umiuti, which is one of the 13 different formulas, Yudgo Midah Shatur in Dreshaspem, 13 methods of deriving from Torah Shebichsav. So they're going to apply the concept of Ribuyim Ute, Vahani Tanoim, and the other Tanoim that disagree, hold that fish cannot be purchased. They are going to apply a different formula, Darshi Kloli Uprati. Now they're both going to apply their respective formulas to the Pasuk, which we mentioned earlier, which describes for us what can be purchased with funds of Maaser Sheni. Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Elazar, Darshi Ribuyim Ute. They apply the formula of Ribuyim Ute to the Pasuk, which says, V'nosata kesev b'chol asher ta'ava nafshecha. You can go ahead and purchase with the Maaser Sheni money anything that you desire, any food item. Riba. Apparently the pasuk here is coming to include. It's a very inclusive statement. Purchase anything you desire. That's the initiation of the pasuk. The pasuk proceeds, provides us with a detailed list. Ba'bakar ba'tzayin, animals. Ba'yayin ba'sheichar. Why? So here the pasuk is describing to us what can be purchased. Ba'bakar ba'tzayin. Ubayayin ba'sheichar. Apparently there's a miut here. The pasuk is coming to limit your allowance. Miut. So we have a riba and we have miut. Then the pasuk concludes with another very inclusive statement. You can purchase anything that you desire. Chazave riba. The pasuk comes back with a very inclusive statement. Riba umiyet veriba. The pasuk included, then limited, and then included again. Apparently, the pasuk here is telling us what you purchase with Matisheni funds doesn't need to conform, doesn't need to be very similar to those items mentioned in that pasuk. Because look, I'm coming back and including anything. Riba ha'kail, anything, even if it's not really similar to those items mentioned in the pasuk. My Rabbi, what did the pasuk include? Rabbi Kol Mili. The pasuk intended on including anything, any food item. But nevertheless, the Torah does give us some limitation here. Why else would the pasuk specify these four items? Apparently the pasuk is telling us, although what you purchase doesn't need to really have to contain all the elements, the characteristics of those items mentioned in the pasuk, but nevertheless, it can't be totally and completely dissimilar from those items. Umay mit, what was the pasuk coming to exclude? Apparently, something which is inanimate, something which is not produced by something which in itself is produced, meaning you have the animals here, bakar, betzoin, you have the yayin, the sheikhar, the wine. They all have this element that they are a pre from a pre. They're a fruit, they're produced, they're an offspring of something which in itself is an offspring of something else. So the animal is an offspring of its mother, which is an offspring of its mother. The grapes are produced from the seeds, which themselves, which are produced by different seeds. So at least you need to conform to that. It needs to be something which has been produced by something else, which in itself was produced. So what is it coming to exclude? Coming to exclude salt water, which is an inanimate thing. It's not been produced by something else. Umay meat. The Rablezer, meat sir. Going to Rablezer, it's going to exclude salt water and even sir, which is a fish brine, although it has some slight element of fish in it. It has the fish fattiness in it. That's not enough for it to be considered a fish product. We regard it as merely salt water, and therefore it's excluded from the allowance. Rabbi Ben Gadish, he holds, even sir is allowed since it has some sort of fish extract in it, which is sufficient to deem this a fish product. And since fish is certainly a pre-mi-pre, it's been generated, it's been produced by something which in itself is a product of something else. Therefore, fish is suitable to be purchased. And even this tzir is regarded as a fish product. So what then is the pasuk coming to exclude? Mi'at mayim melach, mere water or salt water, which doesn't have any additional elements in it like this fish extract. So both agree that salt water is not on the approved list. They both agree that fish is suitable to be purchased. Regarding the tzir, we have a local machlokes. Do we consider it to be a fish product or not? But both are blazer and Yudam and Kaddish hold that fish can be purchased. So that's their approach. Employing the concept of riboy umiyot, and the Torah is including anything, any food item, just coming to exclude one thing. Something which is not a product, something which has not been generated by something else, which was generated by its producer. So that's referring to, for instance, salt or water. V'hani tanaim, as opposed to the other tanaim, which don't allow fish to be purchased, it's because they employ a different formula. Darshi klaliu prati. They employ the formula called klalu prat. And klal means generalization. And prat means specification. This tanya is related to the price. Getting back to that pasuk, when it's tata kesef, the pasuk here is being very inclusive. Klal, it's a generalization. You can go ahead and purchase anything with your ma'aseh sheni money. Then the pasuk limits things, details it, specifies it. But bakar, ubetzoin, animals, uba yayin, uba shecher, and different forms of wine. Prat, here we have a detailed list. The pasuk concludes with a general term. You can purchase anything you desire. Chazav kolal. We have a general term with which the pasuk concludes. So we have klal, The pasuk begins with a generalization. Uprat, then a detailed list. Uklal concludes with another general term. How am I to apply this? Says the Gemara, let's take a look at the common characteristic found amongst all those listed on that list. And anything you wish to purchase with Ma'aser money needs to include, needs to contain that element within it. Yatadon ela ke'ena prat needs to be similar to the details on that list. What is the common denominator between all those found on that list, the animals, the wine? Ma prat mefurish, just as the common denominator in the prat is as follows. Primipri, it's an offspring, a produce of a produce, meaning the animal was produced by its mother, which was produced by its mother. The grapes, which were grown from pits, which were produced by other grapes. So they're primipri, that's number one. Number two, gdule karka. They're sustained by the ground. They get their nourishment from the karka. So we have two elements there. Afko, likewise, anything you'd like to purchase needs to contain both these elements. Primipri, an offspring from an offspring, gdule karka, and nourished from the ground. Tan idach, we have another brayso which offers a slightly different formula. Ma prat nefurish, just as the common denominator amongst all those specified in the pasuk is vlad, vladesaris. They were an offspring of something which was created from the earth, animals which created from the earth during the days of creation, plants, afka, likewise, anything you'd like to purchase needs to have that criteria. Vlad, vladesaris, an offspring of something which was created from the earth. So in summary, putting both brayses together, we seem to have three characteristics which are vital to allow something to be purchased from Ma'aser Sheni money. It needs to be an offspring of an offspring, something sustained from the ground, and something which was initially created from the earth. As the Gemara concludes, this apparently is coming to exclude fish, which are not sustained by the earth, and were not created initially during the days of creation on the earth, rather created from the water. So in summary, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Lezer applied the formula called Ribui Miut Ribui. The pasuk initially begins with a all-inclusive statement, anything can be purchased, then gives us a list, which is limiting it. Apparently, only something which is similar to these may be purchased. And then the pasuk concludes with another ribui. Apparently, the pasuk is telling us it doesn't really need to be so similar to those four items. Only something which is absolutely dissimilar to those items must be left out of the list. What is that? Water, salt, because they're not a produce from a produce. Then I pre. Therefore, Buddha says, the pasuk is being a mait, mayim, melach, or even if you mix them together. But brine, sear, that's okay since it contains some sort of fish element in it. It's considered to be a fish product, and a fish is certainly considered to be primipri, that's a product from a product, and therefore is included in the approved list. Which the Blazer maintains that even sear, even this fish brine is not included because the fish element there is so insignificant. We regard this simply as just plain salt water, and therefore is excluded from the pasuk. Whereas the other Tanaim employ a different formula called klal prat uklal. Torah begins with a general term, anything can be purchased. Then gives us detail, specifies only these items, bakar tzayin yayin v'shecher. Then concludes with another general term. The pasuk here is teaching us something which conforms, which contains these characteristics found in all these items. Let's determine what is the common denominator. And that will determine the formula of what can be purchased with Ma'aser Sheni money. We have three characteristics. Primipri, gedulei karka, and vladis aretz. That's going to exclude fish, which are not sustained by the ground and not initially created from the earth. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the Mishnah that told us that mayim and melech, water and salt, are not suitable for air. They're not considered to be sustenance, mazon. If a person makes a neder from mazon, he's mutter in mayim and melech. A person cannot purchase mayim and melech with Ma'aser Sheni funds because they're not primipri, they're not a produce from another produce, and therefore, as we just learned in the Gemara, they're excluded from the pasuk. The Mishnah concluded that a person can make an eruv with wine, even for another, because it's suitable for other people. Regarding using truma for Yisrael, have a machlekes. A kohen can place his eruv even in the Beis HaPras because theoretically he has access there. Regarding in the Beis HaKfaras, have a machlekes. The Gemara proceeds to tell us in the name of Yechanan, sometimes when a Tana gives us a general rule, it's not necessarily conclusive. And even if the Tana specifically gives us an exception list, afilu b'makim shenema b'chutz, for example, in our Mishnah, where the Tana says any food can be used for an Erev except for water and salt, there's something missing from that list. Kameina pitrius, forms of mushrooms, which cannot be used for an Erev as well. The Gemara proceeds to tell us what can be purchased with funds of Ma'aser Sheni. You can't use it to purchase water or salt. But you can't purchase salt water which has oil within it. So although you're including in the price of the oil the value of the salt water, that's okay. That's called havla, which is derived from the pasuk of Bakar Betzayin Biayin Veshechar. For instance, Bakar teaches us you can purchase the animal together with its skin, fish brine. Kontra Rida Ben Gadish, that's considered to be a fish product and can be purchased from Ma'aseh Sheni Mani. Kontra Blazer, that's not considered to be a significant amount of fish extract, and therefore we regard it simply as salt water and is unsuitable to be purchased. Brine, which contains Kirei Dagim, those fish innards, all agree, Rida Ben Gadish and Rab Blazer, that can be purchased with Ma'aseh Sheni funds since that's considered to be a proper fish product. Now regarding the general question, can one purchase fish with Ma'aseh Sheni funds? According to the above-mentioned Tanaim, the answer is yes. According to other Tanaim, the answer is no. And it's based on their respective approaches and how to apply the drasha to the pasuk.